Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia and this is the space where we speak honestly about the inner journeys that shape who we are and how we show up in life. My guest today is someone whose life story has moved and inspired people around the world. Rachel Beck is an author, speaker, and mental health advocate who was orphaned at birth in India and adopted into an American family. Her life has been shaped by profound loss, deep searching, and an extraordinary journey to find meaning, identity, and belonging. Through her work, Rachel invites others to embrace their stories, find their voice, and lead with compassion. Rachel, thank you for being here. I'm so looking forward to this conversation. Before we begin, for those hearing your story for the first time, could you briefly share a little bit about your early life?
Well, I want to thank you so much for that very beautiful introduction. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
My story is very, very deep and very, very complex. I started as an orphan in India. My mom died 2 days after giving birth. I'm looking for my biological father. I was adopted by incredible people, and I actually am an Indian Jewish woman.
That's amazing. And your story begins with profound change at birth. When did you first start to explore the deeper questions of your identity and belonging? I mean, being from those different cultures, what did that mean to you?
You know, I was adopted about 11 months to 12 months. So I have, you know, I was adopted by a white family, so only brown person in the family, everybody else is white. I have struggled with identity my entire life. When I realized, you know, it was very, very young, you know, with me being Indian and my parents being, you know, white or Caucasian, it was pretty young that I looked up and asked my mom, why are you white and why am I brown? And so it was a very, very simple kid question to ask. Where you're searching for your identity, you're starting to understand. And I was very young when I asked that question. And my mother actually remembers that. She remembers that moment. You know, I was very fortunate because my mother and father were very conscious that I was exposed to Indian culture and music and the food and everything and dance. So I was always learning. And then when I was on my own, you know, at 18, I really dive deep into it. And I have a dear friend of mine who's a rabbi who sent me this book on the Jews of India. So I learned all the history, even though I became Jewish through adoption. There's a lot to learn about the culture, and India runs through my blood, and I never forget where my story started. So, you know, my heart belongs to two countries. My heart belongs to America and it belongs to India. I'm proud to be an American Indian woman. It's really, really important to me. So culture, ancestral trauma, I have a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to my story, and I'm working on all that.
And I really appreciate your openness and sharing that with us, because it is an amazing story. As a child growing up with a different origin and many different environments and people around you, how did you begin to make sense of where you came from? And that must have been quite a challenge, just even thinking about it.
I started doing research. You know, in the 80s, it's very different, right? We didn't have the books with, I wasn't exposed to books with Indian, you know, different cultures, different heritages, not like there is now. You know, now that's available. So I think a big part of me is I had to do it and do some research and learn. It was very, I'll be honest with you, it was very, very isolating for me.
Yes.
It was extremely isolating for me. One of the things that adoptees struggle with is we feel like a huge part of our life has been out of our control, right? I didn't get to pick my religion. It was picked for me because you're adopted to a family that has that religion. All these decisions were made without my asking, without my consent. It was like, boom, here you go, D-d-d-d-d-d, dropped in. And what I dealt with, I just told my family this like a year ago. I thought for 18 years they were going to give me away, that I was going to be, sent away again. Now, my orphanage is the most, and I go there and I stay there when I'm there, is the most beautiful, loving environment. And it is a place where children can grow. And but here's what's so special about it. It's from 0 to 18, all of them are together, right? The kids who have been, they have each other to get through the experience, that they have the most incredible staff that love and care about them. So yeah, you don't fit in anywhere. That's a real reality. You just don't. You have to create the family that you want. You have to be around those people who understand you. And it's this thing where, and I wrote a 30-page paper when I was in school and I was taking a family class on adoption. So here's the thing. I've gone through, read a lot of book. Like I'll go into the store and see if it's about, when I was doing this paper, I'd pick up that book, see what the research was that they were talking about when it comes to adoption. I'd flip that book over. If the author of the book was not adopted, I put the book down. Why? Now, all the research developments in the field that comes to adoption and the all the psychological part of it makes a big difference to adoptees. Well, wait a minute, he or she didn't even wasn't adopted. You can talk about it from a clinical space. You can research it from that perspective. But people like me, we're not going to read that book.
Yes.
We're just not gonna, because you've not walked our shoes. So you can talk about the clinical side of it, but you're missing something because you haven't been through it.
Absolutely. As you said, growing up with different cultures, you've been open about the loss of your mother and the grief of early life. When I've listened to your YouTube and even listening to you sharing parts of your story on your platforms like LinkedIn, how did those experiences really shape the way you relate to others today?
You know what? I never felt, growing up right in the 80s, very different time period. We didn't have the technology. I couldn't, join like a group that I could identify with. Because as an adoptee, you very much feel like an outsider. That's a whole other element of my story. You deal a lot with the emotions. And so I always felt like I didn't belong. That I didn't belong. And I finally found my place where I belong about 2 years ago. And it's been life-changing for me.
It's incredibly powerful and deeply relatable for so many adoptees and people navigating identity as well. The rawness in that you've shared, the emotional isolation, the long search for belonging, and it is a lifetime journey and it's life-changing. But that life-changing moment, what has helped you feel rooted and seen? I mean, what took place 2 years ago that made you realize or have that aha moment, ah, this is where I belong?
That's a really, really good question. That's a very, very good question. I think, and I went to school, I went to university for psychology and gender studies, right? I minored in both. People, no matter where you come from, are looking for a place to belong, to feel that they can be themselves. They're looking to feel not isolated, especially now. I tell my network at least twice a week that they're not alone because many people are feeling alone. And it's finding the people who understand you, who accept you for who you are. I tell people all the time, not perfect. I make mistakes. I have flaws. I'm continuously learning. But it's the finding the people who love you unconditionally to accept you for who you are.
Yes. And that's a huge step, isn't it? It's building that self-awareness and then accepting yourself, I think, and then building from that. Because when you accept yourself, the good, the bad, the ugly aspects of self, then that has a huge impact on how you treat yourself as well. And it's really heartfelt and grounded reflection that you've given us. And it does speak both about vulnerability and wisdom. And I think that's the thing. We have to be able to accept all aspects of ourselves to then be kinder to ourselves, to then be able to spread that kindness to the wider community. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us. But when you discovered information about who you are, where you belong, and you had that self-discovery, you had that self-awareness, you then started accepting yourself and being kinder to yourself. And I know that you did say earlier that identity has been something that you've been challenging throughout your life. But when did you first realize that your story had the power to support and connect with others?
You know what? I didn't know. I know it's my honest answer. I truly don't know when I realized it, but I know that I'm here for a reason, and my goal is to help as many people as I can on this planet because people need help. They need serious, serious help right now. And I think it's our jobs as human beings to do better. We know what's going on in this country. We know what's going on in this world. And I think we can do better. I've realized it my whole, I mean, I knew at a very, very young age. I also was severely bullied in middle school and high school. So I have a zero tolerance when it comes to bullying, and I'm trying to teach that. You find your place. You find your place, and you hold on to that, to where you can be, who you really want to be. You hold on to that. And we have those people who allow us to be ourselves.
To be authentic and to have a voice. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's such a profound gift as well, to be able to be authentic and not feel that you have to wear a mask constantly. And when you have that passion, that purpose, and experience to shine through with clarity and conviction, yes, it does have an influence on other people because you want to share that. You end up saying to other people, I empathize, I understand you, and you realize that your story has that power to support others who sadly might have experienced the same trauma as you did, especially with the bullying or anything else that you might have experienced. And it's because finding your place, a place where you can be you, is everything, isn't it? I feel so. Otherwise, a lot of people, they are alone, they're feeling lost, they're feeling that they don't have that sense of belonging. And sometimes you find that sense of belonging within the community, even if it is on social media platforms.
Absolutely. And a lot of us are working right now to teach that social media can be used for good,
Yes.
that it can be used in a positive way. And there's many of us working on that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Rachel, so far. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Rachel Beck. Stay with us. And now, a quick word from our sponsors here on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show. I'm Belinda Walia, and I'm here with the inspiring Rachel Beck, diving into a powerful conversation on identity, belonging, and healing. Let's continue. So I know that earlier on you were sharing a little bit about your experiences about being bullied in the past and, just becoming more self-aware, having that voice, being authentic and actually overcoming that loneliness as well. And you've often said kindness is everything. And I think that's such a profound message. Was there a defining moment that helped you understand the impact of being kind, both to others and to yourself?
Kindness is a choice, right? Kindness is a choice. People have the choice on how they're going to treat people, and we all remember how we're treated, right?
Yes.
So kindness is a choice, and kindness is needed now more than ever. Now more than ever is it needed across this world. But it's a choice you can make every day when you get up. You can make that decision. It could mean smiling at somebody. It could be telling somebody you believe in them. It could be encouraging them. It, with all the negativity that we are inundated with, from morning to night, that we see out in this world, there are more of us trying to say, hey, you can do this through kindness. You can hold that door open. You can go out of that way with small gestures.
And
that costs nothing. Let me add that. That costs nothing.
You're absolutely right. And but what does kindness mean to you? I mean, we talk about being kind to other people and what impact that has to others, but what does it mean to you personally?
It means a lot to me in a big, big way, because it is a feeling, right? When you're kind to another human being, it's a feeling,
yes.
And they're receiving your kindness, they're receiving your love. I think a big problem is that people take it for granted, or they mistake that kindness as weakness. And we know that that's not true, because it takes a lot of courage to be kind in this world.
Yes, it does.
You can change somebody's life through an act of kindness.
Absolutely. And you can change your own through an act of kindness. Because when we give to others, and it actually, I think kindness is often understated or underrated, I should say. But as you said, it's not a weakness, it's an act of courage. And when you're kind to yourself as well, with kind words and those feelings, it can change your whole chemical reactions in your body as well, can't it? And it comes from somewhere, it comes from somewhere deep, doesn't it? So what does that emotional safety mean to you then? And how do you build that in your relationships and community? I mean, how do you pass that a message of kindness and empathy to others?
It's a conscious choice. It's a very deep conscious choice. Now more than ever, empathy is needed. And I would never work with somebody who wasn't empathetic. I wouldn't do that. Empathy is needed now more in business. People are yearning to be seen, to be heard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell people, like, before it's too late, right? You're gonna wish that you sent that text. You know, people always say, I'm too busy. And my response to them is, we all get the same 24 hours, right? I'm taking care of 250,000 people every day.
Yes.
It is possible. And you can choose to be that way. You can absolutely, it's a conscious choice. It is absolutely a conscious choice. I choose not to be around people who cause me stress, anxiety. They're not my people. But you have that choice.
Kindness, empathy, showing up for someone, isn't it? They're all conscious choices, as you said. And it's a priority before it's too late. Because I think a lot of people don't realize when they spread that kindness, it has that ripple effect, doesn't it?
It has a huge, huge ripple effect. It has a mass. And you know what? You brought something up and I was smiling because I'm so happy you talked about it. You said something very crucial. You said emotional safety. That is everything for people. You have to make people feel emotionally safe. I won't be around people who don't make me feel safe. I'm never gonna do that. You know, I'm a person who has PTSD. I've been through horrible things, terrifying, downright scary. I survived 2 rapes where people have saved my life, where they stepped in. This is years and years, years ago. I survived an attempted kidnapping. I've been through it, but that's like 1% of the story. Right? There is a side of being a celebrity. There is a side of fame that people are unaware of what it's really truly like. And I'm going to be doing a video about that.
Yes.
Emotional safety is everything.
It is. And again, thank you for your openness, because it's a terrible thing. There's no words, really. All I can say is thank you for sharing that. Your vulnerability is courageous and your message is deeply important, because having survived unimaginable trauma and yet you're using your voice not only to heal but to educate and protect others. And as you said, the emotional safety isn't just a concept for you, it's a lived truth.
It's real. My emotional safety, all of that is very, very real and very, very necessary to do the work that I do every day.
Yeah.
And it is, people have so many misconceptions when it comes to celebrities. They see what they see and that's it. They don't know the other stories going on behind the scenes. I've been working also very, very hard to teach about women supporting women. Every 6 months, I have to drop a video about it because we can do it together. We can show up for each other. We can support each other. We can clap for each other's success. And we have the ability to do that.
And I think it's not only being your own cheerleader, but actually being a cheerleader for others as well. And your message is powerful and clear and deeply needed. You're dismantling myths where lifting up community and doing so with authenticity, it's a refined version that could work beautifully as part of, you know, as your community as well. And the female clientele and females that you're talking about, lifting them, because it's so easy to be misunderstood, isn't it? And so many so many misconceptions around celebrities. People see the curated version, the highlights or the highlight reels, but not the real human stories unfolding behind those scenes. So how do you navigate retelling your story while protecting your own emotional space?
That is such a good question. So if I feel like when people do interviews like you and I are doing today, if I feel like there's a question that's inappropriate, I just say, please go on to the next question. You know, you're creating what you need during the process. Right? So people always have the ability to go, hey, can we please go to the next question if that's okay with you? You know, I've been telling people stories for years and years. And there are many reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing today, but it's to shine a light. The light on the people who are doing the good work in this country or in across this world. Because it is the kind people who are working behind the scenes, building something incredible that's going to help other people. They're the ones that need a huge light shined on them.
Yes. First of all, going back to what you were saying earlier, having those boundaries are powerful anyway. We should have boundaries when we're in interview sessions and sharing stories. If there's something we don't feel comfortable with, of course we should be able to feel comfortable enough to say move on to the next. And I understand that you've been sharing your story and storytelling for many years, and you're also an author. And I think we as a society, yes, we've got to be able to feel grounded and empowered in our approach whenever we are showing up for others. And you're right, kindness is often quiet behind the scenes, but it's the foundation of real change. And by protecting your space and amplifying theirs, you're doing both with integrity. And I think that's really important. But when it comes to actually writing as well, what role has that played in your healing and your clarity?
Writing, due to all the trauma I've had in my life, and I've had a lot since, I've had a lot of trauma and people have no clue about, writing is how I heal. I do a tremendous amount of writing. I write poetry. So writing has been, it's been significant to me most of my life. I'm big into journaling. I think that we need a space to get our thoughts out. And so writing has been extremely healing for me.
I know that you mentioned that, sadly, that you have post-traumatic stress disorder. And I understand that a lot of people sadly do have this, especially after trauma, and that the writing has helped you immensely heal from it or get through it. But what has your journey taught you about the difference between surviving and truly living?
It has been a conscious choice. And to everybody out there going through this, dealing with, you know, mental health, we're here for you. You know, I'm not a therapist, not a psychologist, but I'm very deeply passionate about psych. They just need someone to be there for them, to sincerely be there for them. And so I shouldn't be here. I'll be honest with you. I shouldn't be here for many, many different reasons. And it all stems from the trauma I've been through in my life. But I'm grateful I am. And I'm going to keep doing the work that is necessary to help people.
And I think what you've said is incredibly moving. Your willingness to be honest about your struggles and still show up with compassion for others is the work. Your voice is healing in itself. It's healing other people. And you're reminding people that being human, being real, being simply being there for one another can be life-saving. And that in itself can be really impactful. So you've built a large audience who follow your journey. How do you maintain connection while staying authentic?
Well, it's about the real relationships, you know, it really is. And my network knows that they are a family, they're a community. And that's what it's about. My network's about helping other people. So if I reach out to anybody in my network and say, boom, 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 someone's looking for a job, or he or she needs this, or someone's looking for that, that's what my network's about. It's helping people on a global level. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing, is you have 250,000 people who have the ability to help each other. To help each other. And that's what my network's about. It's there to help people.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rachel. We'll be back with the final part of our conversation with Rachel Beck in just a moment. But first, here's another quick break and a word from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and we're continuing this heartfelt and important conversation with Rachel Beck. Welcome back, Rachel.
Thank you, Madame, for having me.
Have you ever received a message from someone that reminded you why you do what you do? Because the work you do is incredible.
You know what? I do. You know, people write me individually and they share with me their thoughts, which means the world to me. One of my friends just did it this morning. It really, really touched my heart. So I'm not in it for... I'm in there to help my network. That's just really, really important to me. And I don't talk about things, accolades, or things I've won, or I'm still, people have actually texted me, hey, did you know so-and-so? And I'm like, no, I had no idea. I don't post about things I'm doing. I feel like I've been trying to teach this for years and people are missing out on social media. If you have a network on social media, it's about them and not you. And that's one of the biggest mistakes I see people doing. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not grateful for my network. Mm. I love them. I carry all 250,000 of them in my heart.
And it's a wonderful thing that you do. Are there any personal practices or habits that keep you grounded when life gets noisy? So here's your huge network of people that you're allowing your platform to share their stories, to share their voice. But sometimes that can become quite overwhelming, I think, especially when it's such a huge network. So how do you ground yourself? What practices do you have or habits do you have that help you balance that?
It's a really good question. So I'm a big outdoors person. So I love to hike. I love to swim. I love to do photography. And so for me, that's nature for me is extremely healing on many, many different levels. So I would say I go to nature. That's where I have healing happening. That's where I have calmness. And I create that. You know, it's something that I've done for years. I am a early riser, very, very early in the morning. So I always take like 1 hour to myself before I start the day. Mm-hmm. And that's that time, exactly what you're talking about, self-reflection. It's exactly what you're saying. I take that 1 hour in the morning, and then I can hit the ground running, and that's how I do it.
And I love that you find healing in nature. It's such a powerful reminder that we don't always need something complicated to feel grounded. It could be just being outdoors, like you said, hiking, swimming, and capturing the world through a lens. It brings you back to yourself. And the fact that you consciously create calmness in those moments, that's beautiful. It's not just about escape, it's about restoration. And the part of restoration, a lot of people do have those moments where they do reflect, and they reflect on their own value, their own self-worth. What does self-worth mean to you now after all you've come through?
You know what? That is a phenomenal question. So we all struggle with insecurities, self-esteem. But when you put yourself out there on social media, which is a conscious choice for influencers, we get tear down every single day. I couldn't begin to tell you what I wake up to, you know, and it's pretty bad. I mean, I block, delete, and I move on. Having dinner with a bunch of people one night, mm-hmm. and it was a mix of men and women older, and all the women at the table, they said to me, how do you do this every day? You know, you wake up to people calling you ugly, calling you fat, telling you what's wrong with your hair, your nails. I mean, you're torn up every single day on social media. And these women and men at the table said that would destroy my self-esteem and my insecurity. They're like, Reach, how do you do it? And I said, I have a big steel cage around me. So anytime I wake up to people tearing me up, it goes in one ear and out the other, because life's too short. And I just respond to people, say, thank you very much, I wish you a good day. Now, peoplehood, there's always that debate. Well, you put yourself out there, so therefore you should have to deal with what comes your way. It's about having boundaries on social media, which a lot of people are missing, and I'm going to be talking about that again. But just because we're out there, it doesn't mean we deserve to be torn up, insulted, criticized, judged, condemned. And it's really, really important because you have to teach people how to treat you. It is very, very important. And you said something, it was really, it stuck in my mind. We have to teach people how to treat you. It's the only way to go.
And what you've shared is incredibly powerful again and so needed. You've captured what so many people feel but don't always know how to express, that being visible doesn't mean being available for abuse. I think that's so unfair when people actually do that. And your strength is saying, I've built a steel cage around me, is such a vivid and empowering metaphor. It's about resilience, isn't it? You're shutting down the noise and you're making that conscious choice of whether to listen to those voices, negative voices, or actually choose to carry on to help others with that kindness and empathy and everything that you give within your community by building those healthy boundaries and showing others and demonstrating to others how to do that. I think that's wonderful and so profound. And finally, what message would you share with anyone listening who feels disconnected from their roots or unsure of where they truly belong? What would you advise them?
Our stories belong to us. You know, there is somebody in this world right now. You know, I was telling you privately that I'm, you know, searching my roots. I'm always searching. And there's somebody in this world who knows my entire story and can fill in all the pieces, but she's choosing not to, which is very, very sad to me. Our stories of adoptees, all that information, anything about us belongs to us. And so, and I was very, very fortunate because I have a lot of information. You know, my parents saved it for me. When I turned 16, they put two big books together so I could keep researching. People are doing the best they can right now. What this world needs is to give people more grace and definitely needs a lot more patience. But people are trying their very, very best to just make it through life. You know, they're working extremely hard. They're working to put food on the table. They're working to take care of their families. And people just need grace. You know, they need that moment of calm. That's what they need right now.
And you're right. And I love the fact that you said your story belongs to you and every detail, every root, every truth. It's not just information, it's your identity. And withholding it intentionally or not can feel like another layer of loss. But your strength, your continuous search, and the love your parents showed by giving you those books, that speaks volumes as well. It shows that even in the absence of answers, you've been building a foundation rooted in love, curiosity, and courage. And I really appreciate that. So Rachel, where can our listeners find you? And please do share your experiences, because I know earlier in the break we were talking about your experience about the UK. What is it that you would like to share? We'd love to hear.
I absolutely love England. I love England. I love London. And I have one of my best friends lives there. I'm going to be introducing you to her.
It'd be wonderful.
I have had the honor and privilege of speaking in London twice. I spoke once at the House of Commons and once at the House of Lords, and it was such an honor and privilege. And I'll definitely be heading back to England this year. The hospitality the memories, the adventures I have when I'm there. It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. I love everything about England. Mm-hmm. And I want to add with that also, a huge part of my network is in England. And they're just the incredible, phenomenal people.
That's lovely. Thank you for sharing that. So where can our listeners find you?
They could find me on LinkedIn. That's the only platform that I'm on. And they can reach out through DM. They could come in and I will follow them.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining me today. Your openness, your strength, and your deep sense of empathy have brought so much to this conversation. You've reminded us all that healing is not linear and that belonging doesn't come from fitting in, but from embracing who we truly are. To everyone listening, thank you for being here. If this episode touched something in you, I hope you leave with this. Your story matters. You matter, and there's power in sharing your truth, no matter where you've come from or where you're headed. To close today's show, I've chosen a song that reflects the spirit of connection, support, and trust. Here's a part of Count On Me by Bruno Mars.
If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see, I'll be the light to guide you. Find out what we're made of when we are called to help our friends in need. You can count on me like 1, 2, 3.